She's a member of the Jicarilla Apache tribe and the founder of Apache Journeys, a nonprofit organization supporting and funding projects that educate and furnish opportunities for the youth to carry on the traditions and language of the Apache people. She was prominent in the American Indian movement in the 70s and traveled the country advocating on the national level, but she moved home and turned her focus there in 1998.
I tried to make a difference in this community, and that's when I became the director of the Cultural Affairs Office. That was the hardest job I've ever done, because our own people, my own people, they have their I don't know what you call it, well, I can tell you what a counselor would call it. They call it internal oppression. And we do that to ourselves. What does that mean? Internal oppression. You know how we're oppressed outside? You know, they don't hire you because you're a different color or stuff. But we do that internally. You're from that family, you know, or you're not full blood. You're just half-breed.
Loren told me she's up against internal conflict all the time in her work. But she says the cause of that conflict comes from outside the reservation.
And the, you know, the counselors and all the psychiatrists have been studying Native American historic trauma kind of stuff always say, well, it's historic trauma. It's all the abuse that we've suffered over the hundreds and hundreds of years. And therefore, it's really caused us to shift who we are as Apache people, trying to... We buy into the bigger culture, the white man culture. We're buying into it.
You think that's true?
Yes, I do.
I followed Frederick Hollywood Delahousse into the gutted interior of the Ashe Cultural Arts Center's Kumba Institute. His organization is renovating their building, but we found a quiet space amid the construction to sit and talk. Hollywood got his nickname way back when he was a child actor, but now he's a cultural co-director of a year-round program that provides critical arts training to New Orleans youth, as well as an educator, performer, MC, and poet.
Because New Orleans communities are such, you know, we're talking about very efficient ecosystems that train and mold little people into these phenomenal cultural, jazz, musical, you know, culture-bearing Mardi Gras Indian icons that people flood the city for. Like, that is the industry that drives us, our culture and our tourism and things of that nature. But those people are at risk of not being, you know, at the place where they grew up. You know, it means something for someone, myself, I'm from the 7th Ward, right, where music was everywhere. You know, there was no option for me not to be musical. Because I grew up in a neighborhood where there was nothing but musicians and brass bands and jazz and poets and Mardi Gras. And these culture bearers were everywhere. So you immediately become attracted to that and you immediately become part of that ritual and part of that culture. And as these, as these different things happen, I mean, right now our median rent per square foot is exceeding the national average. So you have some of these culture bearers who can't afford to live in the neighborhoods that they're famous for making that neighborhood.
For Hollywood, community is a delicate ecosystem dependent on intergenerational conversation and rituals that happen to entertain outsiders, but more importantly, sustain and define the locals.